I want to talk to you today about world changers. Today we want to look at this thought. Mothers are the most powerful, influential people on earth. And I'm speaking from experience. Yay. I could stop and tell all kinds of stories, but we've used up already a lot of my time. The greatest, most powerful person in the world is a mother, and that's certainly true in my life. She produces kings and rulers and great men and women of God, and everybody said, amen. I agree with that. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 10, in bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much. This woman changed history by praying for a son, and God used her to produce one of the greatest leaders Israel has ever seen. And she was barren and could have no children. I know some people, well, it would have happened anyway. No, it would not. She would have never had a child if she hadn't prayed for it. You have not because you asked not. Quit trying to change God's word and read it like it is. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 10, in bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. And she made a vow saying, O Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. And God answered her prayer and gave her a son. Verse 27, I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked for. You have not because you ask not. We've had a lot of people in this church over the years that could not have children. And when we got through praying, they had children. Verse 28, so now give him to the Lord for his whole life. He will be given over to the Lord. So you see, the most powerful force on earth is the prayers of a mother. And mother, never underestimate your own authority and power. I know a lot of people today put down mothers as if they're nobodies and have no influence. I came to tell you, a mother has more influence than any of these other career people. Amen. I know in my life that she has, my mother. Hannah literally changed history. Hannah changed history by praying for a son. God anointed him to be both prophet and judge. I don't know of any other person in the Bible that had both of those positions at the same time. I can't remember a single one. He was supernaturally gifted and supernaturally blessed and anointed by God because of his mother, praying mother. He wouldn't have been born without a praying mother. George Washington said, my mother was the most beautiful woman I ever saw. All I am, I owe to my mother. I attribute all my success in life to the moral, intellectual, and physical education I received from her. I can say the same thing about my mother. My mother was the most beautiful woman, is the most beautiful woman I ever saw, and I pray she's watching right now. Because I want her to know, all I am, I owe to my mother. And so I can say the same thing he said. I have never heard anyone say that about Dad. Have you? And I am a dad. But my kids, when they have a problem, they want mama to this very day. Amen. Unless they need money. Thank you. Anyway, get the point. Yes. Mothers are special. Amen. None of us would be here without a mother. The love of a mother moves the heart of God. Matthew 15:22, a Canaanite woman from the vicinity came to him crying out, Lord, son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession. Verse 23, Jesus appeared to just being ignoring her. When you pray, does it seem that the Lord is ignoring you? It may seem that way, but he's not. He's not ignoring you. Just keep on praying, keep on standing in faith, keep on standing on your promises. Verse 23, Jesus did not answer a word, so his disciples came to him and urged him, send her away, for she keeps crying out after us. She's becoming an irritant. get rid of her. That woman was driving us crazy. Did Jesus send her away? No. Verse 24, he answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. Verse 25, the woman came and knelt before him. Lord, help me, she said. It pays to be persistent in prayer. These little three-second prayers do not avail a whole lot. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, that availeth much. This woman was praying the effectual, fervent prayer of a mother. And she wasn't Jewish. She wasn't even a child of God. She just heard about this man that was, she thought, I'm sure, the Messiah of Israel. And so she came to him and said, I know you can help me. If you will, help me. And listen to what he said. She's kneeling before him. And this is what he says. He replied, it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs. He literally called her a dog. But guess what? I think it was a little test of her faith, because she still wouldn't give up. Why? She loved her daughter. She wanted that demon out of her daughter. Do you have some children that have demons, or at least it looks like they do? God can help us. Can you say amen? Lord, help me, she said. And her reply was, yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs. What would your answer be? If you came to me and I said something like that, you'd probably pull out a little pistol and shoot me. People around here carry guns. Yes, Lord, she said, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Verse 28, Jesus couldn't stand it anymore. Then Jesus answered, woman, you have great faith. Nothing I've said has been able to discourage you. Hey, that's the way we have to pray, just like her. Then Jesus answered, woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. Have you believe that your request is granted today? And her daughter was healed from that very hour. This woman was not a child of God. As I said, she wasn't Jewish. But she had a love for her daughter that wouldn't let her stop. Jesus did deliver her daughter. And so this woman changed history for her and her family and her daughter by interceding before the Son of God for a healthy, demon-free daughter. Ruth loved her adopted mother. And by adopted, I don't mean actual adopted, but she chose to make Ruth her mother, even though she was a Moabite. And Ruth was a Moabite lady, and Naomi was Jewish. In Ruth chapter 1, verse 8, and Naomi said unto her two daughter-in-laws, go return each to your mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. Naomi and her husband moved to Moab from Israel because of a famine. They were looking for work, looking for a place where they had food, where they could make a little money and feed their family. Their two sons, in the meantime, married two of those women, two Moabite women. Then the two sons died, and the father died. And Naomi was left in Moab by herself, except for these daughter-in-laws. And so she decided to move back to Israel. Verse 14, and they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law and left. That's one of the two. But Ruth clave to her. She decided to make her mother, Jewish mother. Verse 16, and Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. And thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. And I believe she's saying, I see the hand of God on you, and I want his hand on me. And she got it by being loyal to this Jewish woman and loving her and helping her. God was watching. Now look at the love and commitment that Ruth gave to her adopted mother. Ruth honored Naomi as her own mother. We should follow her example. Listen to this. Verse 17, whether thou diest, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. She said, I am going to be totally loyal to you the rest of your life. I'm going to be your daughter. I'm going to work in the field. I'm going to provide food for you. I'm going to take care of you the rest of your life. And she did. When they got back to Israel, Ruth worked in the fields to provide for her adopted mother. Because she was doing what was right, God was watching. When you're obeying God and serving God and loving people, being a good Samaritan, so to speak, helping other people, God will help you. God will work miracles for you. You can never work for yourself. So Ruth went to work in Boaz's field, and not knowing who he was. She just happened, it seemed, to be in the right place at the right time. And it turned out that he was the kinsman redeemer, which meant he could marry her and have children on behalf of her dead husband. Because she was working in the field of the guy that could be her husband. And he was rich. He was one of the richest men in Israel. Because Ruth honored Naomi, her mother-in-law, as her mother, God gave her a rich husband. And the Bible says that we're to honor our parents, and I believe especially your mother, especially if she's a widow, that you may live long in the earth. And a lot of times we pray for people to be healed, and God's just not responding. They're not getting healed. And sometimes I wonder, well, how did they treat their parents? How many know there's conditions to this thing? If you don't love your parents and treat them, now some parents are not very lovable. And I have to stop and realize everybody doesn't have a mother like I do. So some of them are hard to love. But you still got to honor them and show them as much respect as possible if you want to be blessed. Man, I got a couple of big amens there and didn't even ask for it. You see, because Ruth honored Naomi, her mother-in-law, as her mother, God gave her a rich husband. You say, well, I wasn't good to my parents. What did I do? You repent, ask God to forgive you. If they're still alive and you really did something you shouldn't have done, apologize to them and make it right. And we believe in redemption. God can make things right. Amen. If you do your part. And so she married the richest man in the county. And that's every woman's dream, to marry the rich guy. Yay. I'm kidding. I don't know what Dottie's dream was. If she's dreaming for that, she was terribly disappointed. But she did get a big house out of the deal. Somebody gave us a few years ago a giant house. Gave it to us. Actually, they gave it to Dottie, I think. She didn't get a rich man, but she got a nice house. Ruth chapter 4, verse 13. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. Now, you know I'm skipping over a lot of stuff. If you want the whole story, you go read it yourself. I don't have time. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception. It was a God thing. And she bare a son. God's hand was on her. And even Boaz told her before he even knew he was the kinsman redeemer that God was blessing her because she was helping Ruth, taking care of her mother, her adopted mother. In Ruth chapter 4, verse 21, Boaz begat Obed. And Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David. Ruth became a mother herself. God rewarded Ruth because she loved her adopted mother, and her great-grandson became king, and his name is David. She was David's great-grandmother. A Moabite. That wasn't supposed to happen. Because she fell in love with this Jewish lady and her God. God blessed her. You need to love God and your mother. And your dad too, a little bit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Without a godly mother, there would be no salvation for any of us. Amen. God had a plan, but he had to have a mother. Amen. Jesus had to have a mother. In Luke chapter 1, chapter 1 of Luke, verse 34, then said Mary unto the angel, he told her she was going to have a baby, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the High shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing that shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. You see, God could not have done it without a willing mother. He needed a righteous man, and the only way he could have a righteous man for his son, the spirit of his son, Jesus, to enter into this womb and be born of a woman, to have a human body. That's the only way you get a human body. It's from your mother. Amen. So Jesus Christ was born of a woman. He couldn't have come and been our Lord and Savior, a righteous man, without a willing mother. Amen. And people make it sound like mothers are not all that important. They're just ridiculous people, and you shouldn't listen to the thing they have to say. Right. If you have a mother, you know how important mothers are. Amen. And if you're married to a mother, you know how important they are. I was always busy, but Dottie made sure our kids got taken care of. And if they needed their daddy, she came and got me. She said, you need to get over here. You know? Born of a woman, born under the law, Galatians 4:4. But when the fullness of the time came, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, verse 5, so that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. You see, Mary changed history. She gave birth to the Son of God. And every time a mother gives birth to a child, that's a special human being that God has formed in her womb. That child has special purposes, and nobody can do that but mom, even though a lot of nitwits today say men can have babies. Anybody that believes that, they're short at least one brick of a load. Amen. Are you cowards? Take a stand for women. Take a stand for mamas. Can you say amen? Amen. Take a stand for your daughters. Because of a godly mother, we have been redeemed from sin and death. Jesus did it, but he needed a mother to become a human being. And as I preached on Resurrection Day, he still has that human body in heaven, and he's there interceding for you right now. The disciples watched him go through the clouds into heaven with his human body. In John chapter 19, verse 25, now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother. She was important to him. He was there. She was watching over him all the time. Remember when he got lost in the temple, or they thought he was lost? You know, boy, she was stirring all over the place to get him back. Jesus' mother was always there. She stood by him even while he was being crucified. Now listen to this. Jesus loved and adored his mother. He loves and adores your mother too. Amen. Listen, when Jesus therefore saw his mother standing there watching him die, and the disciple standing by whom he loved, that would be John, St. John, he saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. In other words, I'm committing you to John to be his mother so he can take care of you. Dying on the cross, he was concerned about his mother. Verse 27, then saith he to the disciple, behold thy mother, and from that hour that disciple, John, took her into his own home to take care of her. Dying on a cross for you and me. Dying for iniquities he never committed. Amen. His number one concern at that moment was his mother. Amen. Think maybe you need to love your mother? Don't forget to call her today. If you don't have a relationship, just pray that God restore it. You may not be able to restore it, but I believe God can. The Son of God has a mother right now. Guess where she is now? She's with him in heaven. Mary was there for her son, and in his last moments before death, Jesus made sure his mother was being taken care of. He asked John to take her into his own home, and he did. You see, and Jesus and Mary are together in heaven now. The greatest world changers down through history have been mothers. Getting short on time, but I want to try to read this. Exodus chapter 2, verse 5. Moses was in a basket floating in the Nile because Pharaoh had ordered the execution of all newborn baby boys. And his mother hid him in a basket and set him in the Nile and had his sister watching over him. When Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe and her attendants were walking along the riverbank, she saw the basket among the reeds and sent her slave girl to get it. So she should have been his executioner, but she became his mother. The heart of a mother. She is mentioned in history as a powerful woman, but she took time to raise a son. Historians think from all the details they figured out who she was, and she's a powerful woman. But the greatest thing she did was give us Moses. Now listen to this. She opened it, the basket, and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. "This is the one of the Hebrew babies," she said. And Miriam, I believe it was Miriam, Moses' older sister, asked her if she would like to have a Hebrew woman nurse this baby for her. And she said, "Yes, go." She answered, go, and the girl went. And his sister went and got the baby's very own mother. Can y'all see the hand of God here working? And he is working to produce the greatest man of God who ever lived. Amen. Next to Jesus. In verse 9, Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nourish him for me, and I'll pay you." How would you like for someone to pay you to take care of your own baby? God is working on behalf of these mothers and Moses. So the woman took the baby and nursed him. When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses. He got his name from his Egyptian mother. This Egyptian woman named him, saying, "I drew him out of the water." God used Moses' Egyptian mother and his Hebrew mother to produce the great leader he turned out to be. Now listen to Acts chapter 7, verse 2. You remember that little shenanigan that Moses tried to pull on God? I can't talk about cause I stutter. That was an act. And God knew it. Now look, Moses was educated in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was powerful in speech and action. He may have had a little speech impediment, but he was playing it for everything it's worth. God would not give in to him because God knew what he was doing. He's just trying to get out of doing God's will, just like some of us have tried to do or are trying to do right now. She trained him as an Egyptian and did not allow him to even visit the Jewish slaves until he was 40. An image of her adopted son is engraved on the Supreme Court building of the United States of America. That's how powerful this woman turned out to be. Our founding fathers clearly based their laws on the laws of Moses. And if you say that's not so, you just are ignorant of the historical facts. I'm a history major, and I'm telling you right now, this nation was built on the laws of Moses. Jesus Christ fulfilled the legalism, but the Ten Commandments still work. And it's the only thing that's going to save this country, Ten Commandments. Moses was her greatest accomplishment. You do not know of anything else she did, do you? The only thing we know about is Moses. She changed history through Moses. Abraham Lincoln was the product of a great mother as well. He said, "All that I am or ever hope to be, I owe to my angel mother." Me too, Mom. Amen. Me too. The only thing I have in common with George Washington is he had a great mother, I had a great mother. Amen. The only thing I have in common with Abraham Lincoln, he had a great mother, and I have a great mother. And love your mother, even she hadn't always been the best. In Acts chapter 16, verse 1, he, Paul, came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was a Jewish and a believer in Jesus Christ, but whose father was a Greek. So his father didn't get a lot of credit. But in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois, a mother, and in your mother Eunice. The grandmother passed her faith on down to her daughter, and her daughter passed it on down to her son Timothy. How do you do that? You teach them the word of God. You teach them to believe the word of God and to believe in Jesus Christ. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother, Lois, and in your mother, Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. These mothers pass their faith on to their children by teaching them the word of God and teaching them to believe in Jesus Christ. And so, Mama, you're the most powerful person in the world. You can decide to have a child, and you can decide if that child goes to heaven or not. Making sure it's in church, making sure it's taught the word of God. Let's all stand.